We plan to do is to do tonight to do Siman Shin Yud Beis. So we've alluded to this already in the last two shirim, just not getting up to it. And that is the issue of getting paid for your psak halacha. So it wasn't very easy to I thought there were more than I could. I actually Googled paying for a psak halacha, and a thread on the there's a, some kind of, I don't know, website or chat thing called I'm a Mother, or I'm a Jewish Mother. I think it's I'm a Mother, I-M-A Mother, I-M-A-M-O-T-H-E-R, where there was a thread on this topic. Do you pay a rabbi when for examining your bedikah cloths? That was the shayla. But it's the same. It's a similar shayla along the way. I mean, do you pay per question? And you know, it was interesting. It was different reading through. There's clearly different. Community setups that they were referring to. You know, when you know, it's like we have a rabbi, we pay membership. Like we don't pay per shayla. But it seems like other people, there actually is this practice out there somewhat. But anyways, so this somewhat comes from this, emanates from this sugya here in Maseches Bechoros. I'm not sure, there's also Gemara Maseches Ksuvos where this is quoted, but this is like ground zero for this issue. So the Torah says, the Hanotel Schar Liros HaBechor Ein Shochten Oso Al Piv. Are you able to hear me clearly? Because there's a terrible echo in the room here.
Yeah.
It's a little bit...
What?
A little bit muffled, but it's fine.
Okay, so the Torah here says, "Anotel schar liros habachor ein shochten oso al piv elim kein hu mumcha v'adam muchsach v'yadu l'chol basar." So a person who takes money to look at the bachor, so that sort of disqualifies him, right? If you say ein shochten, right? What's he taking money for? He's taking money and saying, "Oh, this thing has a mum on it," right? So if he's taking money for it, you can't accept it. Meaning, just because even though he says, "Oh, it's a mum kavua," is no problem. So you can't sheft based off of that, unless elim kain who mumcha v'adam muchzuk v'yadu l'chol bekasher. He says, unless he is a mumcha and the person is muchzuk v'yadu, and he is known. Right, he has a reputation of being honest, etc., and then you could accept it. Right, nothing to do with the mum. Meaning, you're paying one guy. One guy comes in. He says that's a problem. He says yes, no. So you can only accept him if he has some kind of name for himself. Now, one could imagine this being replaced by a smicha, right, or some kind of certificate from an agency. Meaning the agency is not necessarily, the agency is not necessarily passing, but this person has training from that agent, right? You can imagine a system like that being set up, and that's how potentially this could work. Where does this come from? So let's leave the tour and head to the Beis Yosef. So go back to page one, where the Beis Yosef there says, it's a Mishnah Maseches Bechoros, Mishnah Beperek Ad Kama, Hanotel Schar Lios Roa Es HaBechoros, the one who takes money to see, to be a seer of Bechoros, Ein Shochten Al Piv. You can't check based on that, unless he is a Mumcha Ki'ila. Ila apparently is a person's name. Biyavne apparently is his fellow named Ila in Yavne. She tirulu chachamim lios notel dalit yisurv lehevas daka v'shisha legasa bein tam bein balmum. That the Rabbanim authorized him to take money for his bechoros, and he gives the price. 4 isorises for a small animal and 6 for a large animal. I think Rashi there comments because the bigger animals were more difficult to check, or there was more of it to check, right? You had to go and examine more. And it was harder to do, so therefore you got paid more for the large animals over the small animals. So we see at least this example where it was, under those circumstances, okay, that we would allow that. So then the Gemara there also continues on and says, Utnan su hasam, it also says there, that notel scharo ladun dinim b'teilim. This happens to be the next Mishnah, that if you take money as a judge, I mean you take money to judge cases, so the dinim will be not acceptable, benosin lo scharo kapoel batel, and somebody who, and if you, Venosin lo scharo kapoel batel, yeah, and when they pay him like a worker, it would nullify those whatever he did. I mean, there's a couple of other things in that Mishnah where it mentions that a person being paid for it would be a problem. And the Gemara explains, Nosin lo schar kapoel batel shel osa malacha. Excuse me. You could pay him like a poel batel, like a worker who is not being paid. So you're not paying him per job, but potentially you could pay him, meaning what would he be doing if he wasn't passing your shailas or sitting on a din Torah? He'd be working. So therefore, you could pay him like a worker. Now, poel batel is an unemployed worker, meaning you could pay him like somebody, like a low-wage worker. That's what you could pay, but that's not what he's not able to do that right now. And the Gemara explains, "Nosin lo schar kapol batel shall osa malacha the batel minay." Right, you pay him from the like the work that he's actually not doing right now. So it's that could potentially be higher, meaning the standard unemployment is X, but you know this person was a former lawyer, right? So instead of being a lawyer, he's sitting on your din Torah. So therefore, you could pay him his billable hours, it suggests. So Rabbeinu, the high tekatani nusla oskar kapol kai gam the roa b'choros tekatani resha. Paying him like a kapol, that also works for roa b'choros, which fits in there, meaning you could pay him that amount. It sounds like it would apply to this din as well. But the Rambam actually doesn't include it. Now, the Rambam sort of does include it. We'll see. I mean, the Rambam here itself actually sort of does include it. Now, the next section of the Beis Yosef here is that unless he's an expert, meaning he needs some type of specific smicha for this, so we don't really have this smicha. So we have, and we learned here in Shulchan Aruch as well, that you could have three people judge it. Meaning you have one person who's an expert, and we're not necessarily sure that we have anybody that could qualify as this real expert. And then also, but really, and probably if this case would show up today, that's probably what we would do, you would need three people that you know, learned Hilchos Bechoros and have seen a cow before, right? That kind of person. But not, the idea that we're going to have somebody nowadays with the amount of expertise able to really be somebody to judge these cases, so we don't think we really have that. And Shulchan Aruch seems to assume that we're going to always be going to three people rather than one person. But nevertheless, the halacha here of this one person is discussed here. So the tour continues. Vehu shiyeh, I'm now on page 3. Schar b'telu nikeres, imhu poel misbatel melachto kedei lerosa, nosin lo schar kapol sheyesh lo melacha kazu. If he is actually being batel from a job, so you pay him for what he would be otherwise making in that job. V'kama hu rotza likach kedei liyashev batel. How much he would take in order to sit and not do the work. I mean, that's what you would give to him. So not necessarily giving him his full billable hours, but if you go to a lawyer and say, I know you normally charge $500 an hour, what would you take for me to have you not work for an hour? So it wouldn't be $500 because he doesn't have to work. So he'll say, all right, you know, if you're going to pay me not to work, I'll take $300 not to work. All right, so that's the amount that we're settling on. And we say whether it is a mum kavua and he permits it or whether it's not. And the Rambam adds in, "V'lo yitin lo schar al behemazu el pamachas." Now the Rambam adds in that you would only pay him one time per animal. Because if he's right, we don't want a situation where he has any motivation to prohibit the animal, right? Because he might say, "Oh yeah, I think that that's a problem," in order to get people to bring it to him again, right? So therefore, we want to take away that motivation to say that it's a problem. So therefore, the Rambam adds in this caveat that it should only be one charge per animal, and you know, as many visits as you want until you can permit it. Now, I'm not sure why we're not concerned the other way that, well, maybe that's going to motivate him to matter it even when it's not really mutter, and that's worse, right? Because then we're shechting a animal that doesn't have a mum. But nevertheless, that's what he writes here. Now, there is one more. Now, while we're on the... Yeah, okay, let's just do the next thing in the tour here. The tour continues on and says, an ein chacham roa b'chor la'atzmo. So what about checking out his own b'chor? Right? Maybe he's a full expert because he's a farmer, right? So therefore he knows animals very, very well. I have a friend who, in the rabbinate, he sort of left the rabbinate, but in his very early days, he grew up on a... said he grew up on a farm, like sort of outside a small city. So he grew way out there. So in his early years, he was giving a drasha, something about animals. It's like, and he's describing, like, in order to milk a goat, you gotta, like, it's not, you can't just, like, you know, relax and go. You gotta get down there. You gotta get under the goat. And I know this because I've been intimate with goats. And he's like, no, I'm sorry. I meant to say I have an intimate knowledge of goats. But he said that pretty much ended the drasha. He just said, forget it. I'm not continuing on after that. But anyways, Eina Chacham Roa B'chor La'atzma, so he can't see his own. Afilu Hu Chacham U'Mumcha, even if he is a Chacham and a Mumcha. And that's based on the Beis Yosef here quotes this from a Mishnah in Negayim, Kol HaBechoros Adam Roa Chutz MiBechoros Atzma. That person could look at all Bechoros except for his own Bechoros. One can imagine in Negayim, that's Mishnah is referring to checking Negayim as well, right? Checking your own, can you record your own Saras? So on that, the Darkei Moshe here asks, it's just an important Nekuda here, he says, Kosav HaRash Sof Perak Beis in Negayim. Right, what is the Rash? So the Rash in the there's different editions of Mishnayos. There's even different classic editions of the Mishnayos. So most of our Mishnayos, right, we use either the Kati, or if you have a classic edition of the Mishnah, you have the Yachinu Boaz, which we're going to get to, which has the Bartanur on one side and Tosfos Yantav on the other side. But in the Vilna Shas, on Gemaras where there is no on Masechtas where there is no Gemara, so the second half of most of Zerayim and most of Taros, right? So the Mishnah and Avos and a few other ones in there. So the Mishnah appears in a standard Vilna Shas, and one side is the Ram and the other side is the Rash. Right, the Ram is the Perush HaMishnayos of the Rambam, and the other side is the Rash, whose name actually eludes me right now. So the Rash is not to be confused with the Rush. The Rush is Rabbeinu Asher, and the Rash is on these Mishnayos. So the Darkei Moshe here quotes from the Rash at the end of Negayim that Afal Gav the Adam Neman Al Atzmo B'chol Iser V'Heter. He says, what is going on here? The guy is not permitted to permit his Bechor. We allow him to permit all sorts of things, right? We rely on a person, Eid Echa Neman Bisurim, right? We don't go into, if a woman's in her kitchen and she drops whatever a milchik's spoon into the fleishik's sink, but she looks around and she sees, oh wait a second, there was no milk that got off, whatever it is, right? She doesn't call the rabbi with every single question, right? She paskins her own questions all the time, right? So why all of a sudden here do we say, oh yeah, but when it comes to paskining a Bechoros Shaila, that you're not allowed to do by yourself, even though he's an expert in this case. So he says, so why is this any different than that? As we see in the beginning of Perek Hadar, the Tzurma Mirabanan Chazi Lenavshe, did a quick look today to find out what that Makor is. I'm not sure which Masechta that is. Perek Hadar, Atzur Mirabanan can look for himself. Maybe it's in Chulin. I'm not sure. But the more famous Gemara to me is the second one. And so too in the second Perek of Nida about Yalsa Aisa Dama Lekame Deraba Barbarchana Velo Lekame Rav Nachman Baila. The Gemara there describes that Yalsa used to bring her bedika cloths to Rabba Bar Bar Chana to examine her bedika cloths, and not to Rav Nachman, right? Rav Nachman was her husband, and she would bring it to somebody else. Why? So the Gemara there says, Kedei Shelo Tiskana Al Baila, in order for her not to be degraded in front of her husband, right? So even so, the Gemara seems to be assuming. I mean, you could have answered that. Well, maybe Rav Nachman was her husband, or Rav Nachman was a very big Talmud Chacham, but maybe Rav Nachman was colorblind or something, right? There could be other reasons why not to bring to him, but whatever. Apparently, that would degrade her in front of her husband, so therefore she preferred to bring to another man. I think the Gemara there also gives the reason because we were afraid that Rav Nachman would be overly machmir on himself, meaning he might be makil for someone else, but his own wife, so therefore she went to somebody else, but she was afraid her own husband would be machmer, which is not what we are, like, normally we would think, it's a little counterintuitive, right? Oh, you can't pass your own child, because of course you'll be makil. So, but the truth is, it's not. I mean, you... and on my experience of people coming with questions, they're generally coming with the assumption that we're going to be machmir and not that we're going to be mekel. But that's what the Gemara there says. So the Gemara there talks about Yalta but the assumption is that she could, halachically, she could bring it to her husband. It's just for whatever reason she didn't. But technically, our husband could paskin the shaila, right? So why all of a sudden here do we say, oh, but here you're not allowed to paskin your own shailas? So lo mishum isur dechazi l'nashi. Why? So yeshul chalek says the darkei moshe ben hecha de ischazik isura lehecha de lo ischazik isura ad kal nashona. He says, well, there's a big difference when it comes to the bechor. So the bechor is usser, and we're right, whoever's going to come and look at the mum is going to be matir the bechor, right? It was usser, and you need somebody to change the status. As opposed to these cases, she is, right, it's not established as being usser that it needs to be overturned. That's the answer that the Rash gives. Now it's not always applicable on either side. Right, one can make it right by the bechor. So let's say an animal is born with a mum. Right, so it was never necessarily a bechor. We don't necessarily know that, and I'm sure I could come up with plenty of cases where there's a chazaka of it being usser that we're looking for it to be mutter. So, for example, in the case of nida, generally we understand a woman who is a nida to be b'cheskas iser, right? She's prohibited to her husband, and we need to permit her. So there, we do accept her own. And truth is, forget about bringing to her husband or somebody else, she paskins her own shailas, right? She looks at the bedika cloth, looks clean to me, she doesn't show it to anybody, she throws it in the garbage, right? So she's paskins her shailas all the time, right? So with that issue. So I'm not sure that's the answer that the Rash gives. It needs a little bit more clarity, which the Taz gives us a little bit more in the Shulchan Aruch itself. So let's take a look then. I think page 5 in the notes. So in the so in the Shulchan Aruch Simin Shin Yud Beis, so here he says, Hanotel Skar Lios Ro Bechoros. So somebody who takes payment to be a Bechoros looker. Ain't shocht that alpiv. You can't shech based on his testimony unless he's a big expert. V'yedu bo chachamim she'ain kamoso. The chachamim know that there's nobody else like him. Upasku lo schar al hari'ia. V'habikor v'tzarach she'itnu lo scharo b'ni yamum kavua v'yatirenu. B'nim lo yeh kavua. And you should pay him whether he sees a mum and permits it or whether he doesn't. Lo yitnu lo schar al behema ella pam achas. And you only pay him one time per animal. Right, Varoosa, right, which was the sheet of the Rambam, or at least was added in Beis Yosef by the Rambam. Varoosa liolam kozman shemivin osakadesh lo yavo lidei chashad. Right, and he should see it, and he should continue seeing it, so long as whenever they bring it, that there won't be any suspicion that he's trying to get more money out of them by having them come more often. So, the Taz here asks, he says, you know, we have a couple of examples. This isn't the only place where this comes up about you know, whether the person should be paid for passing shilas. He quotes a couple of other examples, and he says the terminology of the tour is a little bit different in each place. He says here, he says, right, we say vim hu poel mevatel mi malachto kedei liros nosin lo scharo kepoel sheish below malacha kazu shebatel mimena. Right, you see what the work is that he's doing, that he's hereby nullifying from. But then he says in Simon Kufay and Zion, that's Kufay and Zion is in Hilchos Ribbis. It's the last Simon Hilchos Ribbis. It only says Ela Omden Kam Adam Batel Rotsa Likach Lasos Esegzet. Meaning how much a person would want in order to do this business. It's in the positive way. And in Choshen Mishpat, by Shavas Aveda, it says, how much would a person do? Adam wrote to Likach Levatel mi Malachto Velasos Malacha Zu, and do this Malacha in its stead. Right? So he's saying there's three different languages going on. So the Taz here, if you look down about eight lines after it becomes wide, there's a little star over there. The star is actually alluding to a piece in the Kudas HaKesef, but the Taz, who thinks it's a better answer, but the Taz here says, V'im kein tzarech iyan al atur, lama kasav kan k'ilu yoshe batal, v'lo kasav shiyachu litil skar al hariya atzma. I mean, why is it that when it says, by Hashavas Aveda, it says, you pay him for his what he's doing now, as opposed to what he could be doing? I mean, he could be a lawyer charging $500 a year, and instead he's doing this instead. So what should he be paid for his actions now when he could have been making more doing something else? That's the way it's described there. Here, it's for not doing something else. So he says, because Hashavas Aveda, you're actually doing something, right? But here, Venir de Torsirle de Brias Bechor Ein Shaykh Klal Malacha. You can't call looking at a Bechor a Malacha. You're not doing anything. You're just looking at an animal. How much would he take in order to sit and not do anything? But on Halicha, when he's actually running after a guy in order to do a Shavas Aveda, so there he's actually doing work. So there, because he's doing work over there, so therefore he would, therefore it's described as how much he would take for actually doing that work. Okay, so that's one interesting ha'ara I thought that he has. Okay, which order should we do it? Okay, so we'll stick here. So on this note, so what's the story? Meaning we pay someone for passing, we don't. What's the issue there? Especially when you get into the rest of the Gemara over there, where the Gemara says you can't pay a person for judging, you can't pay a person for sprinkling the mechatas water, and all of these different things. So what happens nowadays? Right, nowadays, I mean, so with a rabbi, you can make a case he's really a social worker, or he's being paid for some things, right? But a judge, I mean, we pay Dayanim all the time, right? That's otherwise how would you get them, right? Most, right? They're not really, especially Dayanim in complicated cases, right? It's expensive. I mean, it costs it's not cost as much as going to court, but it is. There are people that are putting in a lot of work into those cases. So how does this work? So if we I came across. This machlokas seems to happen across the page of the Mishnayos, right? The standard Yachin Uboaz Mishnayos. So I forgot what in source page 6 or 7, etc. So there is this Mishnah appears in Bechoros, Perek Dalad Mishnah Vav, and there the Mishnah says Vav, right? Hanotel Scharo Ladon Dino Betalim, right? If you take payment for the judgment, the din is batal. Meaning we find out that money was paid, so then that's a problem. So why? So the Gemara itself tells us, and it's quoted by the Bar Tanur here, right? So the Bar Tanur is on the right side of the page. So the Bar Tanur says, "Dichsiv re'e lamadati eschem hayom chukim u'mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem." See that I teach you the laws and judgments like Hashem commanded me. So ma ani b'chinam afatem b'chinam. And the Gemara there adds in, just as I did it for free, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu says, I did it for free, so too you should do it for free. Now, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu had an all-expense-paid trip through the desert, right? All of his, all the man and everything, right, was, and laundry services and water bills and Wi-Fi probably, right? All that was being covered. But nevertheless, Moshe says, just as I taught Torah for free, so too you should teach Torah for free. And that's what the Gemara turns to in Bechoros when it quotes these halachos, right? You're not supposed to teach for free. You're not supposed to charge, because that's like against the spirit of Torah, so to speak. So comes the Bar Tanur and continues and says, right, Bar Tanur is from Italy, right? That's the wine, right? Bar Tanur wine, right? It's from Italy. But he says, Uvrabane Ashkenaz Reisi. So I'm not sure. I know that Ravadi Bar Tanur did travel over the course of his life. But he says, I saw in Ashkenaz, I saw in France, She'orereha b'davarzeh, that they mess up in this matter, right? They're mistaken with this. Why? Shelo yavush harav hanismach rosh yeshiva litul asara zuhuvim k'delios chatzisha al ksivus v'nesines get. He says, because a rabbi who's a Rosh Hashiva, he doesn't take less than 10 zehuvim in order to be there for half an hour for the writing and the giving of a get. Now, that's a pretty fast writing and giving of a get, right? Nowadays it takes longer. But he says the rabbi would charge 10 zehuvim to be there, and also the for one get, va'idim hachosmen al get, shnei zehuvim, right? And the witnesses that came to sign on it, they would be paid too. They would pay 2 zehuvim, or a zahuv l'chol ha'pachos l'chol echad, or at least 1 zahuv, right? So they're paying the judge, and they're paying the witnesses. And the Bartur continues on and says, ve'ein ze harav ve'einai el gazlan v'anas. He says, that rabbi, he's a robber and a anas, a thief, an anas, I'm not sure what the difference is between a gazlan and an anas, but whatever. He's a shakedown artist, a gangster, right? Why? So he says he has a monopoly, right? He can't give a get in his town without him being okay. And person's giving a get against his will. He's got to give everything to this person. And therefore, I'm concerned that this get is puzzle, but it's a violation of this din in Becharos, right? Where he says you get paid to be a dayan, your din is batal. So this is a problem, right? The hatanam masnis. Oh, he says, right? The hatanam masnis. Anotas har ladun dina batalin. Lahaydi dusa batalin. If you take money to be a witness, your edus is batal, right? And so to lahazos to sprinkle mechatas, etc., right? All of this stuff goes out the window. So the Bartanur says, this is terrible, right? How could all these dayanim take the money to be to be Masadri Gittin, right? He added the other things they take money for, to be Masadri Kedushin, and to be to do the chametz, and to do all these things, right? So isn't all that going to be a problem? So the Tosfos Yontif pushes back, but probably the clearest pushback is in the Yachinu Boaz on the bottom. So Tiferes Yisrael is the commentary on the bottom, right? So he has the Yachin section and the Boaz section. In the Boaz section on the left side, so he pushes back significantly against him. Tiferes Yisrael lived in, I believe, the 1800s, so this is already many years later, but here he goes. He says, Uvekan Nata Harav, I assume Bartanura, right? Bekidon Al Harabanim, he says the Bartanura has a big argument, a big tiny against the Rabbanim and the Edim that take money, a lot of money, more than money than necessary, in order to be Mesader Gittin and to sign it. He says Vakarn Gazlanim, he calls them Gazlanim, Vishyesh Kashash Psul Getze, Kesar Hakol No Saint Skar Ladim, right? And he says there's even a Kshash that maybe the get is possible. Ulam Harama, he says, but wait a second. He says the Rama himself in Simon Kufnun Dalid in Evan Ezer says Kasav She'im B'Divrei Harav Mamish. He disagrees. He says not true. Why? Duhumidames Sidur Haget L'Din. He says because Sidur Haget is compared to Din. I'm sorry. Duhumidame, meaning the Bartanura, he compared Sidur Haget to a Din Torah. I mean, the Mishnah says you take money for Din Torah. The Din Torah is going to be batal, right? And Bartanura says, aha, and what are you doing if you're being Masadar get? You're being a Dayan then too, right? And that's going to be a problem. He says, it's not true. It's not a comparison. The whole Din Bendini Mamanos O Isser Veheter Harav Mor Halacha Ad Davar Shekvar Kara. He says, and this is the Yisod that's different. He says, when it comes to a Din Torah, or when it comes to a monetary matter, or paskening a Shaila, right, the Rav is paskening on something that happened in the past. Right, something happened, and now you go to the rabbi in order to analyze what happened and to interpret it. Behinu mamish limudat Torah is to beskar. Right, so he's coming and he's analyzing that. Right, essentially he's learning Torah. Right, he's teaching Torah at that moment. Right, he's taking something and teaching about it. He says, but Masha'inkin Sidur Haget. A Sidur Haget is different. He says, Eino Limud Rak Esek. He says, doing a Sidur Haget, you're not teaching Torah, you're not learning Torah, you're doing a job, right? You're writing a get, right? She means, Asik Binyano Shel HaMagarish. You're involving with the issues of divorce. Vishchomer Shelo Yeba Esek Shum Kilkel. Right? And you're making sure that nothing's going wrong. Vizemutr. He says, that's okay. He says, right, so the whole thing is different. He says the Mishnah is talking about passing something on the past. Here we're talking about doing a function, doing a function is not passing on the past. Now, the truth is, what does he say about these other things? Yeah, right. Now, I'm not sure what he does with the next section where he talks about sprinkling water from the Paraduma, right, where he also seems to reject that. But anyway, I'm not sure. But this is the chiluk he makes. And then he continues on and says, "Delo chayvasan haTorah sheyila charav liros imploni koveya mezuzos yafa." I took a great hardness. He says, it doesn't say anywhere that the rabbi has to go in order to make sure your mezuzos are upright, right, or in the correct places. Oim tefillin shelo kedino, or that your tefillin are okay. I mean, it's not the rabbi's responsibility to make sure you have kosher mezuzos and you have kosher tefillin. Oim mesader gita karai, or that your get is being done well. He says, v'rak im yavo l'shalo b'chol eila im hu mutar o aser. He's just there to paskin a shayla if you come and ask him whether you did it right or not. But and then he's got a paskin. He says, but that he needs to actually go and check out and make sure that you're doing it right. He says, we never heard of that. He says, Rakshi Chmiru. He says, all right, we have a chumra that Gambadoras Harishon Shem Amanim Adam Gadol Vakilios Eitzel Seder Get. Yes, it's true. The minhag is that we don't do gittin on our own, right? We don't just watch a YouTube video in order to figure out how to be Masader Get, right? That you have a rabbi present, you have a Masader Gittin, and that's the appropriate thing. Like Rav Chai to have a Muna Gite. Vizem Yifnei, and the reason is because it's difficult, right? Chumri Nyon Mishum Devakal Yochel Ahatir Ejasish Lassel, and it's things could go wrong. All right, and would permit a married woman to get remarried. It's not the rabbi's responsibility. She says, "Liros b'chinam beget sheitim ploni liishda." That this guy to get a free get. Verigam schar hazaya v'kiddush da'aser. Right, and also the payment for the and so too for the payment for the sprinkling and the kiddush and the person becoming tahor. Meaning, I guess what he's saying is, he said that's usher. He just says it is. He says that is usher. He doesn't really say why. But a filu hachi schartircha haba umiloi. Yes. Oh, I think that's what he's saying. He's saying it's true that the act of sprinkling the paraduma, that should be. That he shouldn't be paid for. But the act of going and collecting the water and preparing the water and doing all the work around there, right? So that it is appropriate that he get paid for. The kol shekein she'edim utarim litol schar, and certainly the edim also, they're allowed to get paid too. Why? They're osim es atzul lisa hagrusha. He says, first of all, they're offering themselves to marry the woman, right? If you're an aid on the get, so you're not allowed to marry the woman anymore. And even if they're kohanim, al kopanim mad masinan imahem she'ikalkulu haget b'chasai masan yishamuhu. He says, because if they mess up the get by their signature, they're all going to have to pay for it. They get sued, right? So therefore, they're allowed to get some payment for it. Verabenu Tosus Yotuv Kasav Gamkein B'Shem Tshuva Sarashva. He finds the Tshuva Sarashva as well. The Dafka Benotel Skar Lahoyin Eidus Shara Kvar. Avalelech V'Liros Maisa Get V'Kedushi. He says, the idea that an aid can't be paid, that's when he's coming and testifying on what he saw in the past. But for him to go and take time out of his day to be present for a get or for kiddushin or for chalitza, who forced him? Why should he do it for free? Isu v'su de gam b'dayin, he didn't dayin himself. Dafka below huk for lekach liolam. He says, and even the case of the dayin, where we say that we can't pay the dayin, he says that's only if he's not the permanent dayin, meaning you want him to judge an ad hoc case, so he doesn't get paid for that. But yesh lomer da asu litol schar ba'dinam, then he shouldn't get paid. But somebody who is miyachrichu lis ratzos lios kavua b'davar zel liolam, but a person who's going to be permanently in this position, bechinam for free. Vade v'chay gavner shay lehasus b'tchil she'elo be'ed get v'chalitza kach v'kach. Zelo skar dinhu rak skar bavur she'is ratzel lios kavul l'davar zel liolam. Right, but in a case where he's we're hiring to do the job, so he's not being paid for judging the case, he's being paid for that being his job, and for him to always be there for you. Right? And also it's a necessity that that we have today. If not for this halacha, we wouldn't find people who'd be willing to do this and be willing to be available at all times. But still, nevertheless, but still, you know, the rabbi shouldn't get paid too much, right? So it's not appropriate to push and to charge exorbitant prices, right? Just it's important to be tzanu about it. But anyways, that is the Tiferes Yisrael's full-throated defense of rabbis getting paid, at least for certain things, right? If he's just passing a shayla, then it's inappropriate. But for him to actually go ahead and do something for you, right? So then it makes sense that he'd be paid to be a functionary at that time, right? So that is the generally, yeah. So that is chiddush that we try to. Try to do. All right, one more. So then one other sugya. What about his seeing his own stuff? So that the other. Okay. Why can't he paskin his own shailas? So here in Bayes, the Taz says. You look at the Taz at the bottom, at four pages from the bottom. He asks this question as well. He says a tamifni chashan. He says the whole concern is because of it looks suspicious, right, for him to paskin his own shailas. He says v'kashali mimashakas of Rama. He says I don't understand what the Rama says in Sif Yud Ches, meaning the Rama writes in Hilchos Shchita shenagu b'ktas mekomo she'ein adam shochi b'bodik la'atzmo mashar de medina mutter, that there's a minhag that people had that the shochet wouldn't shecht his own meat, right, that he wouldn't rely on himself for his own meat. But there is such a minhag, but sounding like the halacha is that it's mutter. So he says, what's the difference? He says, I also saw in Perek Beis in the guy, he should gam harash came, right? V'chilik ben heichad yischazeg yisur, right? The rash, which we saw in the Darkei Moshe, makes this distinction. He says, well, I have a distinction between when something had a chazaka of being usser versus when it's not. Right? This case by the Bechoros, it was becheskas iser, so he's changing its status, as opposed to other things where he's not. He says, "Uzeb turitz nami v'meshabodik la'atzmo dekeim denishcha tahutra v'lois chazik isura." He says, and therefore it makes sense why by shchita would be mutter also, because by mutter, by shchita, it's assumed to be mutter, and it didn't have a status of being usser. But if you turn around and say v'chitema, he says, "Wait a second, what do you mean? V'shchita lo yenemana, he shouldn't be believed, right? The behema b'chayeha b'cheskas iser." But he says, "What do you mean? The animal has a chazaka of being mutter. The animal has a chazaka of being usser, right? The last thing we know about the animal is that it was alive. When an animal's alive, you're not allowed to eat it, right? So why all of a sudden here are we changing? Are we saying that the status isn't changing?" He says, "Yeah, but then we rely on the rove. The majority rove mitzuyin etzel shchita mumchenhein, plus most of the people that involve themselves with shchita are experts, and therefore we can rely on him for this." Now, I'm not sure why we don't rely on the rove and say the majority of people that deal with permitting bechoros are experts, and therefore we should allow it. Maybe just say that the minhag is that we don't trust them for that. I'm not sure why we make that distinction, but that is the shita there of the Taz. The Piskei Tshuva here adds on in the bottom, Piskei Tshuva Aleph here. He says, first of all, this whole thing is only by one person, but if there's three people, we would not be choshesh. And he says, not only that, but even if it's the three people that are the owners of that animal, right? Those three people own that animal. So do we say, well, you guys shouldn't be passing the shayla on your own animal? So the first half here is him saying, no, we're still not going to be choshesh. That's okay. We're not concerned that they won't be a conspiracy to paskin lakula because you know there's other people around watching them. And then he adds in here for the chavus yahir about 7-8 lines in. He says v'ayimishal shu chavus yahir shenishal imutter liros b'chor la'achiv v'zman hazeh. So what about showing the b'chor to your brother? And he says that nowadays she'inu nita rakal pishlosha mutter. He says nowadays if you're showing it to you're only really allowed to show it to three people, then for sure it's mutter. A few baal habachor leitzdarif, even if for the baal habachor himself to be part of those three, he says that would be mutter. Plus if there's three people watching it together, so then it would be okay. One more, just halach here in Hilchos Yantif in Sif Gimel. It's actually based from a Gemara Maseches Beitza where it says Ein Roen Mumin BeYomtov. You're not permitted to look at the Mum on Yantif. Why would you look at the Mum on Yantif? Because if there's a Mum on Yantif, right? So then you're allowed to shech the animal and eat it on Yantif. So he says you're not allowed to shech for Mumin on Yantif. Why is that? Well, really the answer is because the animal is Muksav. If it wasn't permitted before Yantif, so then it's Muksav. So therefore, even if you say that it's a Mum, so it's not going to permit the animal, so therefore the animal is muktzeh, so you can't do the check. But if you saw it before Yantif, so then you can ask questions on it on Yantif, heyach nafal b'mum. Because there's really two aspects to permitting the mum. One is looking at the mum and seeing if it's really a mum kavua, and then you also have to interrogate the guy and say, you know, did you cause that? How did this happen? And did you cause it? Right? So that's actually the very next simon. The next simon is shalula hatil mum b'b'chori. You're not allowed to cause your own mum. Right? It has to be something that happened on its own. So there's the checking whether it's a mum, and then there's also the interrogation. So we paskin, the Gemara there gives a couple stories like this, that you could look at the mum on Erev Yantif and see that it is a mum kavua, and then do the analysis on Yantif itself in order to ascertain whether it's really permitted, because most of the work is really checking out the mum, not the interrogation. So he says, that's okay. I mean, well, you're already a significant portion of the way there, so therefore the animal is not going to be muksa, and therefore it's going to be able to be used on yantif. But to start from scratch about it, checking and examining the animal on yantif, so that's considered to be inappropriate, or not. That's considered to be not allowed. Okay. That is the rabbi sugya. Okay, hopefully maybe one, maybe two shirim left, and then on to Petach Hamor, and then on to other things. All right, Yeshikoch. I think next week also. I think maybe the tape be off for Hanukkah, or maybe move it. I think Monday night I have something with the kids, and the rest of the week also is going to be challenging. So maybe I'm feeling we're not going to have shirim next week. I'll pick up maybe Hashem after Hanukkah.
Okay.